we're like, oh, we tense up and everything becomes rigid. So I kind of saw rigidity as like the enemy, number one, with yoga. And I was like, okay, like if we can find a way not to be rigid when we practice yoga, like maybe it'll work better. You know? So I was just kind of trying to figure that out for so long. And then I started figuring out, okay, ease makes a lot of sense. Like move with ease. You know, I'm, you know, not just telling people how to move, but taking people step by step through a practice where they end up feeling there's nothing they're fighting in a way. They're getting to know themselves and also trusting that you can progress when you are doing something that's nourishing for yourself.
Welcome to Yoga Beyond the Asana, the wonderful podcast. I am Wanda Badwal. Together, we will explore the fascinating world of yoga, spirituality, and personal development. We hear and we learn how we can integrate more love, balance, and fulfillment into our daily lives. Thank you for listening. Hi, and welcome to the Yoga Beyond the Asana wonderful podcast. I'm so happy that you're here. I am super excited welcoming today's guest. I'm sure many of you already know her and love her style of sharing yoga. I really loved her energy from the very moment I came across her around 8 years ago when I started reading two of her very first books, Strala Yoga and How Yoga Heals. And yes, I'm speaking about Tara Stiles. And for the ones who don't know her yet, here comes a little bit more about her background. Tara Stiles is a yoga teacher, New York best-selling author, and the founder of Strala Yoga, with guides worldwide teaching the Strala Yoga approach to yoginis and yogis. Tara stands for practice, which makes you feel good and is free from dogmatic teachings. She has transformed yoga for millions, and Deepak Chopra and Jane Fonda are companions of her path. Tara is also a mother of a six-year-old daughter and a successful entrepreneur. Today, we will talk about her journey of becoming a yoga teacher, what running a successful business means to her, how she balances this with her private life, and how softness became her superpower. Mm-hmm. Welcome, Tara. I'm so happy that you're here.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. All of that sounds so professional, like it's somebody else. I'm sure you've experienced that so much where somebody reads all of these things about you and you're thinking, oh, wait, is that, did I do that? Do I need to live up to that? What does that mean? So thanks for that.
I know. It's so funny that you say that because I was just reading it. I was like, I hope she enjoys hearing that. I hope she can really be proud of herself right now.
Oh my gosh.
Starting with this podcast, you know, I asked him some people from my community, you know, people in Germany also know you and what they would like to know about you. And something that a few people said was that I should tell you that we really love you.
Oh. That's so nice.
Yeah.
That makes me feel good.
We love Tara. Please tell her that. Yeah. Tara, how are you right now? Where are you? And yeah, tell me a little bit about where do I catch you? Like, what is your life right now about? What moves you right now in this time of the year? How are you?
Oh, well, yeah. Thanks for asking. It's a bit of a transition time for us. Daisy, she's six, so she's in first grade. And here that's, well, you can do school all different ways all over the world, but here it's, you know, first grade for her. So she found a school that she really loves. So we're staying close by to the school, and daily I'm just every day online with our Strala Yoga app, as so many other people are, teaching and connecting virtually, which is so cool. And back to traveling a lot as well, going to Germany next year again coming up, and Italy, and kind of, you know, just back to the full, I guess, pre-2020 sort of travel schedule. But it feels different now. I feel so happy that you said people say that, oh, they love me, because it's, you know, I've always loved to connect with people since I started doing this. It's such a wonderful way to connect. But I think after 20 years, you know, we hug extra long and it just feels so nice to get together. I really don't take it for granted anymore. I really appreciate it a lot more. So that's our kind of daily life for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I just told you up front from the podcast, when I first came across you, I felt an immediate connection, because we have some similar, you know, things in common, similar background. I was a musical actress. You were a ballet dancer. You have a history in modeling. So can you share a little bit about your transition from that world, that external world, maybe also, and, how you transition into yoga, like also for the people who don't know your story yet?
Yeah, sure. I think for me, it's probably really similar with you. Ballet brought me to yoga. I grew up, you know, in kind of a small town. I would have experiences. I think we all do. It's kind of human where we kind of have little glimpses of, oh, there's something bigger than me. There's a connection. You know, I felt connected to nature and all of these kinds of things. And I would ask my parents about it and they would say, don't ask about those things, you know, just do your homework and whatever, just, you know, live your normal life. But they were also living in this, they weren't saying it at the time, but more of a mindful lifestyle, but they kind of took it as, well, this is just a nice way to live. You know, we recycled, my parents built this inexpensive passive solar home, so it didn't use a lot of energy. And my mom had a garden, but also they're from German background. So that's kind of similar to just a normal life. But at the time growing up, you know, it was sort of the fast food culture and we kind of just stayed out of all that stuff. So I feel like I got the benefit of the lifestyle part of yoga without knowing about the philosophy and the practice. So through my ballet school, my teacher brought in a yoga instructor for relaxation and stress reduction on Fridays. And that's kind of the pitch for it. And it was the first time I saw somebody simply sitting there in the front of the room, just happy. And it was so ridiculous because nobody was giving him any positive attention. In fact, all the dancers were saying, oh, this is so silly. This is a waste of time. What are we here for? And I thought, wow, people are literally being a little bit rude to him and he's still happy. I want that. I want that quality. So I really got drawn into everything that he was doing even before the class started, just sitting there. I'm like, how is that possible? And then when he took us through the class, it was just a very simple, I don't even remember. It wasn't like, oh, the moves were so interesting or the sequence was so cool. It was just a really simple hatha yoga kind of class. And I felt instantly like, oh my gosh, this is a remembering. This is all those glimpses that I had as a kid, but there's this practice to it. Why didn't anybody tell me before there's this practice to all of these things that I had questions about? So I thought, okay, I definitely want this for my life. I'm going to ask him more. I'm going to find out more. And I think probably like so many people who become yoga teachers, my next thought was, well, why don't my friends do this? Why doesn't my family do this? Why isn't this everywhere? So that was that first kind of whack on the back of the head feeling that really led me to wanting to learn more about it and share it really with everybody. And at the same time, I was doing the modeling and TV commercials and dancing. So I was having this really cool experiences being around lots of different people all the time on sets and films and, you know, hair and makeup people and catering people and people just, you know, on a photo shoot, people start talking about all their problems. And I said, well, I'm learning about yoga and yoga takes care of all your problems. And they would say, well, my head hurts, my back hurts, you know, my boyfriend broke up with me, I'm cranky. So I would show them little simple things that I was learning, like whether it was alternate nostril breathing or simple, you know, taking things that look like stretches, but more in an intuitive way. And they said, well, okay, it's not just stretching. It's not just strength building. It's not just breathing. It's this whole thing. And I would literally just have these little mini yoga sessions with anyone that I was meeting because I was always talking about it and people are always sharing their problems.
So you did that on set. So I can imagine. So you had a break, lunch break on a commercial shooting set and you went like, let's do an alternate nostril breathing.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't anything formal at all. It wasn't like roll out the yoga mat or whatever. Yeah. And it wasn't anything I planned, but, you know, I would talk to the catering person and there's like this young person that's just like me and she's carrying these heavy boxes. And, you know, so we'd help her and things like that. And then she would say, oh, you know, my back hurts and I have a headache. And I said, oh, let's try this breathing technique. It might help you feel better. And then I would, and then she would say, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So that's kind of how I just automatically wanted to share it with people in these really any kind of setting. And yeah, one thing started to lead to another. And, you know, eventually I started leading a free class in Central Park and that more looked like a yoga class, like an hour, you know, bring your yoga mat. We'll do yoga by the tree, you know, and that was cool because that was like a yoga class, but I was definitely up for sharing it, you know, really in all of these other situations too.
Wow. That's so brave. And I think it feels like it sounds super organic, like, that you really brought this, you know, all these tools into this world, which can be, you know, very driven by, competition and, you know, the external things. Was it also for you that you felt like unhealthy, issues around, you know, for example, the competition part? I mean, being a ballet dancer is like what I know about it is brutal. Yeah. Like how disciplined you have to be and how your feet look and all of that. And, so was it also for you, for your own healing path, something that you felt is really doing something good and it's a balance to this external focus?
Yeah, I think I got really lucky with ballet. I had an amazing primary teacher and he's the one who brought yoga to us. He was with American Ballet Theater in New York and he always taught us in this, you know, it was very disciplined, but it wasn't abusive. It wasn't rigid. And so everything I learned about dance was I knew my limitations. I knew what I was capable of and wasn't capable of, but I guess I was also being taught not to be cruel to myself and really and also maybe just not recognize if someone was being cruel to me to kind of take that on. So I think I had a really great experience with dance in that capacity. And, but yeah, I do know that a lot of people feel, whether it's from dance or modeling or life, this kind of pressure that takes you away from being yourself. And I think I just kind of knew enough about myself. I knew what, you know, wherever I was going to go, wherever it was going to take me, I had to be myself in order to make that happen. So I couldn't, you know, let my insecurities take over too much because that would just cloud the me coming out of it. So I always, you know, have the regular human insecurities, but I kind of just had from those good teachers that instinct enough to say, okay, it's really challenging to be in this room and to go and, you know, stand in front of that photographer or whatever, but do it in the way where I'm still me and I'm not trying to be like so-and-so or so-and-so, because as soon as you do that, you're totally, it's over, you know, like you're going to feel worse and it's not going to work anyway. So I think I always had that, that knowledge passed down to me to override that insecurity. But yeah, yoga's definitely helped me with all of the, you know, just the insecurities that come up every single moment in life, for sure.
That is beautiful how you, you know, talk about the approach of the ballet you experienced. And that's amazing. And it also, what you just shared, I feel like, you know, I still have some friends from my time in acting and modeling, and there are very few who can do that, staying healthy, like mentally, you know. And I think it says a lot about, like, you have a very good self-worth, I guess. Would you say that's something that you just, you know, just have, like, from maybe your childhood or something that you just build over time? You know, that you, what you just shared, that all the external things didn't come so close to you?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, maybe it's also the German background and then, you know, very almost, I mean, maybe it's a cultural thing too, like, I didn't want to fake something within myself. So if I saw maybe a pressure to be a certain way or somebody said, oh, you should dress like that, you'll get more parts, I knew that it wasn't true, because if I was trying to look like another girl who was very beautiful and very talented in one thing, but dressed a certain way, if I just wore her costume, I was never going to be her. So I thought, well, how can I dress? How can I present myself and, you know, the world of TV commercials and whatever to play the part where I can play myself the best right now? So I kind of just always knew that I had to improve and I had to get better at, you know, yeah, overriding those insecurities, but also just sticking to that, creating my own, you know, character for all of those different things. And then with yoga, you get to just take it off. You know, like you don't have to, like now you can, you know, you get to, like you said before, like you love the color behind you. I love it too. You know, nobody's telling you, you have to do it a certain way. And I think my experience in, with dance and with modeling and things is I got the gigs where I was being myself. And maybe if I was playing by the other rules, I would have gotten different gigs or more gigs or less gigs. I have no idea, but I just got the ones that were appropriate for me. And I think that's where a lot of people get stressed out and even find a lot of success in trying to do it in a formula that doesn't feel authentic to them. And I've just always felt that desire to stay connected to myself intuitively. And I know, we all know that when we do that and then we improve the things that we're doing, you know, that's kind of the magic formula. You take you and then you improving, and then that's awesome. You know, then we're all connected, you know, everybody's individual and also interesting to each other. So I think I've always been just interested in people in that way. That way, like, you know, on a TV commercial set, I never felt competition because we're all there, we're all doing the job, and I could more talk to the camera person or talk to the costume person and ask about their life and what's going on with them. And those things were always more interesting to me. So maybe I'm just, you know, in my own world with that in a certain way.
Yeah, you really sound also like a connector. Like that's a natural thing for you to connect with people and connect with people and bring people together. So you shared a little bit before how your yoga career, or as your, you know, your teaching started in Central Park, and you developed your own style of yoga called Strala Yoga. So can you share a little bit about that? Like how did that happen, or what was the desire behind creating an own style, or did it just happen, you know, without intention, or what was maybe missing for you in other styles you experienced? Yeah, can you share a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah, that was a total accident for sure. And and I was reluctant to it. I mean, I wanted to lead yoga because there were so many styles. And the friends of mine that weren't going to yoga studios weren't going because maybe they would try one style and they would feel intimidated or shy about it or whatever. And then they would try something else, and then something else they didn't connect with. So there was already a lot of, you know, we're doing it this way and we're doing it this way and we're doing it this way. So I wanted to come in and say, well, you can just, you know, move how it feels right for you and listen to yourself and all of these things. And people started coming, and the feedback right away from my friends that had never done yoga before, and also my yoga teacher friends, were all the same, like, this is so different. What is this called? And I'm like, it's just yoga. You know, like, it's maybe different than Jivan Mukti and Shivananda and Ashtanga and all of that, but we don't need to call it something, another thing, you know, like there's enough things, guys. But they just kept saying it's so different. It's so different. What's it called? And at that point we started a small studio, and you have to have a name for your studio. So we came up with the name Strala. And people just started saying, oh, this is the Strala style of yoga. And I'm like, no, it's just yoga. We're just, you know, doing it in a way where it's more intuitive, it's connected, all of these things. And, you know, it really took me many years to just give in to people, because I saw my yoga teacher friends would come and they would do various trainings and still not feel like themselves. And they would say, well, I can apply all of these things that you're doing. And then I go back and more people feel good about themselves in my classes. And then more people come, people aren't getting injured as much. All of these good things were happening. So that's when I started thinking, okay, it's not a teacher training thing I want to do yet, because that's another whole, you know, shebang. But maybe I can start giving workshops for yoga teachers that want to, you know, help more people feel included in their classes. And I was teaching all of these things like moving from your center and letting your breath and body be connected. And, you know, these things I was learning, not just from yoga, but Tai Chi and Shiatsu, and, but also just things that seem like common sense, like not pushing somebody forcefully into a position. And unfortunately, at that time, a lot of us learned in yoga trainings that, you know, it's not good unless you go all the way. So a lot of people were just, you know, good yoga teachers, nice people were just, you know, forcing people in yoga poses, and then people wouldn't want to come back. So those kinds of workshops had a lot of excitement around it, and people would go back and have more success in their classes and more people would feel good. So, you know, eventually I just kind of gave in and we started teaching longer trainings and 200 hour trainings, and people started coming from all over the world and saying they really love this, and they go back and they have success and people want to come to their classes and enjoy yoga. So then I'm thinking, okay, let's just go for it. So we finally, you know, it took about 10 years to fully give in and say, if we're going to do this, it needs to be something that's actually helpful for people and not just another system of movement, for sure.
Mm-hmm. How would you describe Strala Yoga, like, for someone who has no idea what it feels like, looks like?
Sure. You know, people often say a class feels like them. It's yoga, but it feels it feels like it's your idea in a way. So the movements that we do are, you know, all the same things. No one's going to push you into a pose. No one's going to, you know, yell at you, and those things that hopefully don't happen anywhere at all again, ever. You know, I think we're kind of past that now in, you know, the history of Western yoga, but it's very much your breath and body are connected. Your breath is moving you. So the class is focused on what happens from the very first moment to the very end, more than exactly what happens in one particular position at a time. So softness is a big element, breath body connection, moving from center, using what you need, resting what you don't, these sort of universal principles of moving well, of using your energy in a nice way.
Yeah, it sounds very inviting. What would you say is like the your main goal in teaching what you teach? How would you like people to feel, or what is your most important message, would you say?
Yeah, I love what you just said. How do I want people to feel? I love this. What I love about the practice the most is it invites you to notice how you feel, just to notice. And often I think, especially with kind of modern yoga, like, feeling good is now kind of normal, which I think is just awesome. We're past that, like, you should feel bad in yoga. And now it's like, you should feel good. And I'm really interested in, well, what do you actually feel? Like, it just, maybe it's not bad and maybe it's not good, but what's going on with you? What do you notice? What are you aware of? And I think these are really important questions, not just mental questions, but to connect your mind and body and your whole self together. So my goal with leading and sharing is always to help people notice what's going on with them. And as soon as you notice, you know what to do about it. You start being kinder to yourself and how you move. You get more ideas about life changes and things like that. I don't need to tell you, you know, what to do and who to marry and who to break up with and all of those things. All of those things start to happen when you notice how you feel more. So I think that's my main excitement about the practice.
Yeah, beautiful. You founded Strala Yoga with your husband. Maybe you can share a bit more about your experience, your journey of, you know, you said it was a totally by accident somehow, and you started off with a small studio, and then came the style and the trainings. And I also work partially with my partner together. So I also know, that's a special relationship. You add on to the romantic relationship. So can you share a little bit about your journey of, you know, becoming an entrepreneur by accident somehow? Yeah. And and how was it for the relationship running a business together?
Yeah, so I feel really lucky because I think, similar to you, we do this with so much of our time that if my partner did something else, I would just never see him and it wouldn't work at all. But we met at a yoga retreat. It was Dharma Mitra and Krishnadas. It was like an Easter weekend. And I kind of went as a little bit of a joke. I didn't really know what was going on. I was, you know, my 20s still. My friends were a lot older and very serious about yoga. And I said, okay, let's go check it out. Let's see what's going on. And he was there. And I got this feeling instantly like, this guy looks, and this sounds a little bit strange, but like, he doesn't fit in this crowd, because all the guys that came to yoga, at least back then, were like, they were strange. Like in normal life, they'd be the ones sticking. They were like tie-dyed clothes, you know, checked out of their life, or like gay, you know, like all my yoga friends are gay guys. Obviously, I'm not going to marry a gay guy unless, you know, tax purposes, immigrant, something like that, like not a legitimate relationship. So he, you know, he looked like he didn't have, he wasn't checked out of his life, but he was still there. And I'm like, why are you here? Like, you don't look like you have a severe issue with your life right now. And of course, everybody's got their issues and things like that. But I kind of stayed away from him because I had this feeling like I knew I was going to marry him, but I also wasn't done like dating and having fun and just being, you know, in my 20s in New York. So I put him off for a while, because as soon as we came together and had our first date, it was kind of over. Like, that was it. I was done. I had to call everybody else and say, sorry, lose my phone number, please. It was a sad time for me. Yeah, but then, okay, so sorry, like with all the yoga stuff. So yeah, so I was doing my yoga things, and he was always coming to yoga, and he grew up doing Tai Chi and and martial arts and things like that. So he physically and mentally was just totally in it, but he did all of these other things with his work. And I'm like, why are you doing all this work stuff? And then you have this other life that you love. And he's like, well, you know, that's really cute. You do all your yoga things, like your YouTube and your private clients. And I'm like, no, like, this is going to be like what I do. Like, I didn't know it was going to be Strahl in a studio. I thought I would take like our background in common together and have it be more like I would write books and maybe work in a magazine and, be an ambassador for yoga in some kind of way. I thought it would be more like my single person doing something in the world, like that. And he didn't kind of see my vision, like where I was going with it. And then after a while, when we started the small studio, it was in his apartment, by the way, because he had like a tinier, a small apartment, but a little bit bigger living room than I did. I'm like, by the way, I'm going to use your apartment now for yoga. But he loved it, because all these people came over, and he just started going to his job less and less and hanging around me more and more. And I'm thinking, okay, if you're not going to go to work anymore, like let's do this together. And it really, I think it helped him a lot, sort of solidify his interests in life with what he was doing with his time. So, you know, he has this whole background in Tai Chi that he kind of just buried under the rug and never even talked about. And he has this whole background in mind-body medicine. That's like what he studied in school, but then he just kind of put it away. And I'm like, you are all of these things. Why don't you just, you know, like tell people about it and at least admit it to yourself and start sharing it, you know, just with the groups that are coming to classes. So yeah, slowly but surely, we just started doing more and more together.
And you still do it until now, right? That's how it sounds.
Yeah, now it's great. I mean, he's very good at answering emails and being organized and things like that. So he does that. And he also teaches Tai Chi. And I do the things that I'm good at. So it's sort of like we just figure out what we can do. We figure out what we can't do and have other people help us with that. So yeah, it's nice. And we have a really great lifestyle as well. So we can have time with Daisy. You know, we decided not to, you know, a lot of our friends in New York, like have not necessarily yoga businesses, but wellness businesses. And they, you know, took other directions where they raise funding and they get all these people. And I resisted that because I knew if I wanted to have a family, I wanted to be there and not be in an office all the time. So we have a nice balanced, at least for what we want to do, a nice life for ourselves too.
Sounds beautiful. Your mom also, and also many moms listening to this podcast, you know, yogini moms, and I think what is always very interesting is how was your adaptation process from, you know, being used to your practice, like having 2 hours for yourself in the morning to like, you know, waking up at 6 a.m. or something and you have to play or, you know, you have to care for your child. So how was that, you know, that transition for you, like from that before being a mom to being a mom?
Yeah, it was definitely hard. And I think it wasn't so much for me, like missing that time. I mean, we used to go to the studio, have a yoga class, go out to brunch with whoever wanted to go out to brunch, like come home, watch a movie, go back to the studio, you know, go out for dinner, you know, living the life. And when you have a little one, it's just not that anymore. And I think at least my experience was not missing that life, but trying to find almost myself again in the new life. And I was very, I didn't actually realize this until recently talking with a friend of mine who's been through a lot of trauma, but I was very hypervigilant about her and about just her safety and, you know, where she was and where I was and like how I would do everything with her. And I think I'm just coming out of that now. So just kind of understanding, you know, my own journey to coming back to some sense of normalcy. And I think it's taken me like 6 years to kind of figure that out and just realize that even when I thought, oh yeah, I'm still balancing everything. And when she was a baby, we still, you know, everything was fine on the outside. We took her around to everywhere. We were still doing all the trainings and, you know, same life as before, just without all the downtime. But I do think that I was in this sort of hyper vigilant, you know, almost like rigidity kind of found me somehow. I somehow escaped it with all the yoga. And then I found it when I was, you know, a new mom for sure. And I'm kind of more aware of it now that I can breathe a little bit and she's going to be okay. I'm still doing all the everything that I can do to keep her safe, but I can, you know, relax my own self a little bit more too.
Mm-hmm. So how did your practice change? Like when you remember yourself before being a mom and then, you know, after, like how would you say like feels your practice now? How did it change? Like also, how can I imagine it? Like how much time do you have? I mean, now she goes to school, but like how much time did you still take for yourself, for your own practice?
Yeah, I think because of our schedule, we have, you know, yoga is built into that. I don't have like a lifestyle where I have to like go to work and then come home and then go to work and come home. So even when she was a baby, she could be laying on the floor and I was, you know, I was still like doing all of the same yoga. Of course, it felt completely different and my body was completely different, especially in the beginning stages. But I think now it's changed in the way, and I don't know if this is only because of becoming a mom, but also just getting better at my practice and learning more about breath body connection, but I've slowed down quite a bit. And I think that's, you know, we all hope to improve our teaching over time, but I don't know about you, but I'll look at like a video I did 10 years ago and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm just like a little bit like, I'm talking so fast, I'm rushing through everything. And now I'm doing better, but I'm sure in 10 years from now, I'll do better too. So I think, you know, that probably is physically and emotionally, you know, partially because of having her, but also just improving in my practice as well.
How do you manage your energy, Tara? You also do many things, you know, you're an entrepreneur, you give trainings, you write books, you have a family, you know, so your own practice, like how do you manage? Like, do you have some like practices, inbuilt rituals that, you know, are sacred for you in your daily life? Or what are like maybe tips you have in, you know, balancing it all?
Oh my gosh. Well, I think the biggest tip for people and definitely the biggest thing that's helped me is sort of this all the time, use the energy that you need and drop everything else that you don't need. And that's sort of applied whenever I hear my friends or anybody in a podcast talking about like boundaries and figuring this out. I'm like, oh yeah, that's using what you need, resting what you don't. So Like I was really excited to talk with you on this. So like, this is like the big thing of my day, you know, like I have a few other things, but like, this is the one thing, that I was excited for. And I'm helping my mom out with some things. And with her, sometimes she's like, okay, here's like all these things that I need you to do. And I'm thinking, I'm going to do one thing for you every day. Tomorrow I'll do the next thing, the next day. So just, you know, spacing myself out with these tasks that I need to do. And then also just thankfully we have our practice. So I use my practice not just to, you know, keep up my body and strength and all of that, but to notice how I feel and what's going on with me. So I can pretty quickly figure out like, oh, today I need a little bit more gentle practice. And actually tomorrow, maybe it's nice just to get outside and go for a big walk and feel that energy. And the next day, maybe I need something more energetic. So I think that's become a skill that I've figured out, not just to get on my mat and set the timer and do yoga to, you know, exercise, but to notice really how I feel. And then as best as I can judge, what can I do about it to actually take care of myself? So I don't waste time. And I feel like wasting time is wasting energy. And it's kind of like the same thing in that way. So if I can figure out what I need and just do that, then I'm not worried about, or spending extra energy on all of the things that aren't necessary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you said a beautiful thing, that sometimes your practice is not on the mat. This podcast, as you might know, is called Yoga Beyond the Asana. So how does yoga look in our everyday life, and how can, you know, we adapt also the practices of mindfulness into our daily lives? Like you just said, going for a walk, or I don't know, shaking things off, you know? So what are some practices you do, like, next to, you know, being on the mat, that maybe people also listening can integrate into their lives?
Yeah, I think it's everything, really. I mean, it sounds so cheesy, but making everything a yoga practice to me is so fun, you know, especially if you really treat it as the physical and the mental is together. Like even opening your car door can be like, well, am I just opening it and like getting to the grocery store? Or can I take a breath and like open the door? And then, you know, then I'm walking around and I'm seeing more people in the parking lot. I'm more available to smile. I don't have to force myself to make a good connection with somebody. I'm more connected with myself. So I try whenever I remember to make every moment a yoga moment. And, you know, that ends up being things for me. I love cooking. So, you know, now that the weather's cold, I love taking time to go to the grocery store and just putting down, you know, that extra project that I really want to mentally do, but it's maybe not time to do yet. And I'll just say, I'm going to go to the grocery store, get all these fresh veggies, come home, make a big soup. The house will smell amazing. And then I'll feel better and I'll feel nourished and ready to do more things. And also having Daisy, you know, there's tons of opportunities to be present with her. And I don't want to, you know, just lose myself in my phone, which I could easily do. Oh, I'm going to answer these emails, or I'm going to check social media, all these things. And just, I can do that anytime. It's always going to be there. So when she's home from school, she loves to do art and I love to do art. So it's an easy situation. We've made this art room and just like draw and paint and make crafts and things like that. And, you know, it's not always easy. It's easier to just grab the phone or to kind of mentally check out. But I know if I put myself in that situation, I'm going to have a nice moment for myself and for her as well. So it's sort of just building that awareness that resists the kind of easy out and do the thing that you know is going to make you feel better kind of overall.
Thank you. I would like to stay for a bit longer on the energy management topic. You also said before how important it is to really prioritize and, you know, for example, just do one big task a day. And I think that's such an important message, you know, because I feel sometimes we receive the pressure or the message from the media, especially as women, we have to do it all. We are kind of super women, you know, we can rock it all. We can be super sexy, cooking meals, being a mom, rocking a business and doing it all at the same time, you know? And so I feel it's super it's an important message to say, do less, you know, do less and just maybe, as you said before, okay, today I have a podcast interview and this is what I prepare for, energetically, mentally, you know, and this is my main thing and everything else is minor important, you know, it's important, but it's not like I have another big thing right after or something like that. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. That's, and I understand the urge too, to just, it's especially now. I mean, I think when I started doing all of this, you couldn't fill your plate as easily because there was the internet, but there wasn't this constant, you couldn't really reach out to people online and connect as easy as you can now. You could send an email and then just wait, you know, but it wasn't social media where you could just sit and look at something all day and get ideas and all of that. So I think I have the benefit of learning there what it takes to make real connections and to kind of figure out what I was appropriate for and where I could be put to good use and how people could receive me in certain ways. And then I kind of figured out my little categories that I can fit into. So now I think it is harder for people at all stages. I mean, even I see myself being like, oh, maybe I should be doing more on social media. And then thankfully I have Mike and he's like, Tara, do you listen to yourself? Like, you're fine. Everything's fine. Don't worry about it. If you feel really inspired, that's something else. So I think it's important to notice at least how you feel. Again, just coming back to what's going on with you. How do you feel? What are you excited to do? And what are you doing because you feel like you should be doing? And, you know, maybe some of those things, you know, I mean, I kind of like doing all the things that maybe other people don't like. Like, I like responding to emails. I like responding to comments. I like all of those things. So I don't have boring things that I need to do so much. Maybe I've just changed my mindset about it. And even like helping out my mom, it's like, well, I don't like doing these little tasks to help her out, but I know she's going to feel so much better when it's done. And that's going to be great. So I think just focusing on, well, what am I doing and why am I doing it? How am I going to feel when it's done? You know, because if I would for myself, look at my friend who's doing this cool thing on social media and say, well, I'm going to do that same thing. And if I do it and then I post it, I'm not going to feel good about it at all. So it doesn't matter. And it's probably not even going to get good response because I've just done this thing that I think I should be doing. And I think, you know, we can all relate to that on some level because that's the pressure. We feel like, oh my gosh, like everybody's just doing so many cool things. And like, I'm just sitting at home, you know, but everybody's just sitting at home, you know, or sitting in an office or sitting somewhere and somebody's the originator of the cool thing. So why can't it be each of us? And we can all originate in our own ideas. And I think that's the interesting thing about, you know, sharing things in general is when we're ourselves, people like that. And you can share the thing that you're doing and you'll find the people that are interested in it. But the main thing really is to make sure you're doing it because it excites you and it's fun for you and it feels like you, because that's just, you know, it's no fun the other way.
Thank you so much. As a mom, what are some of the most important learnings you received over the last years?
Oh my gosh, so many. I mean, I had a totally different idea about how this experience would be than it was. And a lot of it is similar, but so much of it is different. Like, I thought, you know, first of all, okay, your kids are just like carbon copies of you. Not true at all. Like, she's totally different, likes her own things. And that's fine. She does have a lot of interests that I think are really cool and fun to do. So I'm happy about some of that. But really listening is a big deal. And I know, like, parenting, you need to keep them safe and you're supposed to guide them and like feed them good foods and all of those kinds of things. But really listening has been a huge lesson. Listening not just to what she says, but how she's responding, what's happening, sort of that relationship in a way. You know, I'm not like somebody, I'm not like a mom that thinks, oh, we're going to be like BFFs. I think I said that to her once. I'm like, oh, I'm your best friend. And she's like, you're not my friend. You're my mom. Like, you're right. I need my own friend. She's like, get your own friends. So you know, listening, I think, is really been a huge one. Listening to her needs, how she feels, and, you know, what's appropriate to do about it, really, also. Because it's not always like just give them everything they want. But, you know, we're all kind of just figuring it out as we go along. But listening has been a huge lesson for me. I thought I wouldn't need to do that so much.
It's beautiful. We also talked about before this, you know, yang focused, demanding world we are in. And you speak a lot in your teachings about this softness approach and ease. And can you speak a little bit about how that, you know, came into your focus, that that's something, the ease, you even have t-shirts, you know, with that word on, like, obviously it's very important for you. Can you speak about this importance for yourself and your teachings about softness, about ease?
Yeah, well, I think it came for me from seeing rigidity in the yoga world, but also just in the human world. Like, that's, we go to rigidity when we feel threatened, you know, or when we feel afraid. We're like, oh, we tense up and everything becomes rigid. So I kind of saw rigidity as like the enemy, number one, with yoga. And I was like, okay, like if we can find a way not to be rigid when we practice yoga, like maybe it'll work better. You know? So I was just kind of trying to figure that out for so long. And then I started figuring out, okay, ease makes a lot of sense. Like move with ease. You know, I'm, you know, not just telling people how to move, but taking people step by step through a practice where they end up feeling like there's nothing they're fighting in a way. They're getting to know themselves and also trusting that you can progress when you are doing something that's nourishing for yourself. And I think that's the hardest thing for so many people. And I remember like years ago in Berlin, this is why I love Germans. Like there was this German woman and she's like, okay, I understand, you know, what you're talking about. Like we're in the warrior two and you're saying to like be in the position, but then you're saying to like relax and be at ease. But then what do I do with my extra energy? Do I like put it back in? You know, I'm thinking like, this is such an interesting conversation because as soon as we're already doing the thing, we're doing the work. And then as soon as we notice that it's not destroying us, it could be challenging, but it's not, we're not punishing ourselves. It's so easy to think, oh, I need to punish myself now. How am I going to make this a punishment? And so that was so much of like, you know, the human experience, not just the yoga experience. So I started learning at the same time, just by accident with Mike being his Tai Chi background. And there was a Shiatsu teacher that started getting interested in what I was doing and was like, oh, it's, you know, what you're doing with connection with people is very similar to Shiatsu. You need to be relaxed in yourself while you're connecting with their meridian. Otherwise it doesn't work. And I'm like, okay, that explains everything that's been in my brain that I've been just having conversations about with people. So the physicality of rigidity prevents basically anything from working. And I'm like, this makes so much sense because you can go to a wonderful yoga class, but if you're tense and if you're kind of beating yourself up inside, you're not going to get that many benefits and you're going to feel stressed afterwards and you're going to keep doing all the stressful things. But if you go to that same yoga class and you allow yourself to feel at ease, you're going to get so many more benefits and have the ripple effect of that. So that's, you know, the reason I'm so excited about softness and ease is it's really trying to, you know, combat public enemy number one, which is rigidity, which, you know, we all have this like toughness and like, I'm here and you're there and I think these things and you think those things. And it's sort of like, maybe we don't need so much of that. Maybe we can, you know, we can still be strong while we're not, you know, being, everything that's rigid eventually breaks, you know, you break yourself or you break somebody else. But if you're soft, you're not vulnerable. You're not melting in this way. You're being ready. You're movable. You can do things. You're more in control of yourself and you're more able to progress and all of these things that we all want. So I just started getting really interested in what softness actually is. And I just found out that it's like the secret to being strong and the secret to being healthy and nourishing yourself into making good connections. Like, okay, let's double down on softness. That's the thing.
That's so beautiful. You're also coming to Germany, speaking of the German woman who has a lot of energy. You offer some trainings, some teacher trainings, some workshops. So can you share a little bit about what can people expect? Where can we meet you?
Yeah. Oh, I love
give you a hug in person.
Yes, please. Yeah, I love coming everywhere for sure. But Berlin has become like another home for us. And we go to Berlin a couple of times a year, usually. And the next time is November 2024. We're doing a 2-week, 200-hour training. And we try to be flexible with people. Sometimes folks just want to come for the first weekend and kind of treat it as an intensive, or do a week of it now and a week of it online or later, or stay for the whole 2 weeks. So yeah, if you're interested in visiting Berlin, or if you're already there, that's easy, but come. And we've got a wonderful group of people there that join, and it's a nice community for sure.
Yeah, it sounds really beautiful, and your approach. So we share all the information in the show notes for everyone who's interested and, you know, can get more information about what's coming. So we moving towards the end of the podcast, but also towards the end of this year, 2023. How has it been for you? And can you share maybe 1, 2, 3 of your biggest learnings? Maybe something you let go of this year, something you feel like you mastered, something you better understood.
Wow. Yeah, it's been a big year for me for sure. We were in Illinois the last couple of years with my family. My dad was sick with Parkinson's, and thankfully, when we first found out he was sick, we convinced him and my mom to travel with us and to hang out and come to Germany a lot and all these things. So they had a lot of fun. But he was sick and not doing so well. So we decided to go out there just to live and enjoy. And it was the pandemic anyway, so why not? And I got to spend a lot of time with him. At first I tried to like fix him, you know, like, oh, you could do yoga and there's like this boxing thing for Parkinson's and shiatsu, and here's all these functional medicine doctors I know, and we're going to fix your body. You know, it's going to be fine. And then I realized, you know, that's not possible. So, you know, what I really learned through that experience, he passed away in the beginning of this year, was that connection is so massive, and just feeling that connection with him. And then, you know, just sitting there with him, doing a little bit of leaning or shiatsu or breathing, or just being with him and just listening to him and giving him my attention, you know, what I try to do when I lead yoga, and seeing it actually work and hearing him give me feedback like, wow, you're really here with me right now. You're not distracted. You're paying attention, or you notice what's going on in the room, or, you know, just having somebody who's, you know, my dad give me that feedback is just completely invaluable. And then also seeing how, you know, this practice brought all of that, you know, positivity to that horrible time, and helped me make a better connection with him and help my mom and just be the person that could be a responsible adult and be in charge and do all these things. And like we talked about earlier, using the energy that I need and resting the energy that I don't need, especially during a time where you're kind of firing on all cylinders and it's really easy to get overwhelmed and stressed out. And I just really learned that, oh my gosh, I really want to keep improving on connection and softness and listening to others, because I've seen so many benefits from that for sure. So I think that was my main huge learning from this year. And also just being open to change. You know, I've always thought, oh, I'm so open to change. I travel, I do all these things, but, you know, coming back to the East Coast and being in school, having Daisy being school, and, you know, it's not like we're starting over again, but there's a new place and a new school and new moms and all these things, and just being open to change and being open to new relationships and new friendships and all of that has been really nice, and also a challenge because I'm used to all my old friends that I still get to see, but, you know, there's always going to be change, and that's something to go with too.
Thank you so much for sharing. Yeah. Is there anything else to the end of this podcast you would like to share, or you would like to people to know, or?
Sure. Yeah. I think just something that's really helped me is this daily practice of connecting with yourself. And I think it can be really simple. It can be on your yoga mat, or it can be really any time of day, but just letting yourself find a comfortable position, whether you're sitting or standing, soften your body and your mind a little bit. And all of a sudden your breath starts to become a little bit more big naturally anyway. You don't have to try to breathe more big or full. And then to simply notice how you feel. I don't even remember when I started doing that, but there was a point when I wasn't, a point where I am, and I've seen a dramatic change in my life, both in how I feel and also in the things externally that are working better in my life without the force, without the trying so hard. So I think there's some real magic in that little process for sure.
Thank you so much. It was very, very valuable what you had to share, I think. I hope everyone feels inspired and from this podcast, I really hope you have some outcomes for people listening. Thank you so much for taking the time today, Tara, to have this conversation, to come to this podcast. It was really a big pleasure to meet you. And it's so funny. I told you before, we started this podcast, and that 8 years ago, I, was reading your books, and now we sit here together. So it's, and I was just, I was in the beginning of my teaching. So that's really beautiful how things come together and connect. Yeah. The big topic, I think, of this podcast, connection. Yeah. Thank you so much, Tara.
Yeah. I'm so glad to meet you, and thanks for bringing me on your awesome podcast, and hopefully we get to hug in Portugal or somewhere around the world soon.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you so much. And thank you everyone listening to this podcast. This podcast is absolutely free. It's ad free. If you liked this conversation, please share it with your friends who you feel maybe like to benefit from this podcast, or share it on social media, whatever you feel like. And if you like to rate this podcast, I'm also very grateful for your positive feedback. Yeah. Thank you so much for listening, and we hear us next week. Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in and listening. If you like this episode, I would be super happy if you share this podcast with your friends and leave me a positive review on Apple iTunes. Because only with your support, this podcast can grow and inspire as many people as possible. Thank you for joining, and we hear us next week.